In today's episode, you'll learn about the current state of diversity, equity, inclusion in the workplace, and what's changed since the beginning of the pandemic. We discuss the impacts of layoffs and the current economic conditions and what the future looks like. Let's make a social impact. Hi, everyone. I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So today, my guest is Jerome Tenniel. He is the Director of Social Impact and ESG at the Uplift Agency. Thank you again, Jerome, for joining us today.
It's great to be here with you.
So, Jerome, today we're going to be talking about diversity, equity, inclusion, I guess in the workplace. And, you know, how that, you know, DE&I has evolved, I guess, since the pandemic, where there was a lot of focus and where it is today. So maybe before we get into that, what is the state of DE&I today in the workplace?
If I had to use just two words, and I'm not sure that everybody's going to agree with this, but I'd say in turmoil, right? And I think you pointed to that, right? There's, if we hop into a time machine and if we go back to 2020, I remember like it was yesterday going on to Indeed.com or, you know, Simply Hired or any of these other, you know, LinkedIn and any other job hiring sites. While corporations at the time were laying off hundreds of thousands of people, they were still hiring diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging professionals. Fast forward to present date, 2023, and it's been like a roller coaster, right? Like, it was this high, then there was this sort of steady plateau, and then it sort of dipped off. And now we're starting to see that it's like the progress that was made over the last 3 years has essentially been wiped away.
And when you say in turmoil, is it because, you know, we've seen a lot of the layoffs recently, and you know, a lot of it has to do with the economic conditions. But it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the people who are being, you know, let go are these DE&I social impact professionals that, you know, maybe 6 months, a year, 2 years back, that was the entire focus. So what's causing that?
I think it's a couple different things. So when I say turmoil, you speak to some of it, right? So that's a part of it is, we have been set back in terms of diversity in the workforce as a result of layoffs. Like, we know that people of color, women, other minority communities that are historically marginalized have been the greatest affected by layoffs, and are going to continue to be the greatest affected as there are continued layoffs through 2023 with, you know, recession fears. That's one element of it. The second element of it is, at the same time, minority groups are being the greatest affected by layoffs, so are HR professionals, and specifically HR professionals who focus on diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. So that's the other part of it too, is not only are you setting back minorities by years as a result of these layoffs, you're also setting back the progress that can be made on DEIB type of initiatives, because those who have been hired to spearhead these initiatives are also the ones who are facing the greatest layoffs. And then the third element to this too is we're also starting to see how polarizing even the acronym DEI is in a political arena. To make things even a little bit more muddy, we're also seeing that there is this change in the workforce in terms of hybrid versus 100% remote versus being back in the office. And what I mean by that is the hybrid type of work space or the hybrid work environment can actually in some ways be more inclusive and more accessible to certain populations in some communities. So if a corporation decides that they're going to go away from their hybrid or remote offerings and go 100% back to in-person, Perhaps it's people who are living with different abilities are greatest affected, right? Because now they have to make that commute on a daily basis, whereas before they were operating from, you know, from their homes with greater accessibility because they probably have all the tools that are necessary for them to do their job. So it's like those three different elements that are making things really a really hard landscape to navigate in the workforce when it comes to DEIB programs.
So two questions here for you. One, do you think it's still a priority as it was 2 years ago for a lot of the same companies who, you know, made it their mission and priority in the organization to have DE&I professionals in it, you know, spoke a great deal about why it's important. Do you think that's, it's still a priority, or is it now being replaced? Hey, you know what? It's not as much as a priority because the economic conditions, and at the very end, you know, we're still a business. We need revenue.
I actually don't know. And that's like the hardest part. And here's what I'll share. I think one of the toughest things, especially as a social impact professional, is over the years, I've looked across the corporate landscape, and there are brands that I've looked at and been like, man, they're doing such a great job. And then now, present date, over the last 6 months, they have also been some of the same companies that I believe were making some of the greatest progress, that I also believe were some of the greatest champions around some of these issues. And they're also making layoffs and are fairly public about it. And I've seen some of these positions at these companies that I've looked at and I've looked up to. And now I've, as a professional, now I start to question, I question that. So I think the answer to that is, I actually don't know, because I've been somewhat surprised at the complete reversal by companies that I thought were actually like 100% in and on board and doing these things authentically. So what's really interesting, and I actually pulled it up in front of me here today, because I think you'll find this sort of, it's an April Fool's joke, but as I read this, I was like, man, this is not a joke at all when you really think about it. So this was, I'm going to quote something here. It's on Instagram, and this was posted on April Fool's Day, so April the 1st. And the title of this Instagram article, it says, "Workplace excited to add more diversity as long as it doesn't change anything." And it's a joke, right? It's a joke that sort of insinuates or really points at the lack of progress that companies have made in diversity. And what's really interesting about that Instagram post, which is it's satire, there's a comment in the comments section, and somebody actually said that's probably the most honest post that I've seen on April Fool's Day. And that's how people are feeling about diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, and the commitments that companies have made at this point.
Do you also think there's been a backlash to diversity, equity, inclusion? And let me give you some examples. You know, we, on this channel, you know, we've had episodes focusing on D&I in the workplace, you know, strategies, and those garner a lot of negative comments. There's a lot of people, you know, who have positivity, this is great, and so sure. on, it's helped me, but there's a lot of negative comments. Even, some of the content that we posted as Benevity, you know, toolkits and guides and blog posts, those seem to have like really polarized people. Are you seeing some of that backlash yourself?
Oh, 100%. And I alluded to this very early on, what I'm seeing, and you know, I'm based here in the United States, and I'm outside of the Washington DC beltway. And so I see probably too much of the political arena. But especially here, in what you'll see is on the conservative side, there are a lot of arguments that DEI and even ESG, right? As sort Definitely. Of, you know, things that are, you know, when I think about DEI, DEI sits squarely within the S of ESG. But there are a lot of folks who are talking about DEI as being a woke political agenda. And it's not. It's simply giving the tools to folks so that they can achieve the same success that I may have achieved. When I think about like equity and even like the benefits of having a more diverse and inclusive workforce, one of the things that most people who know me know is that I served in the military for 8 years. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about serving in the military is not just like traveling abroad and the multicultural aspect of that, but also serving with others who were very different than me, very different walks of life, very different backgrounds. And the military is one of those unique places where they're able to pull everybody together for the same reason, for the same cause, for the same mission, even though we have all had very different upbringings culturally, religiously, and just socially as people and how we've been raised. And as I sort of look across, sort of the broader ESG spectrum, and as I think about like DEI, like it's certainly being politicized. And as a result of that, I think, right, there's a certain amount of risk that people are feeling as a result of launching DEI focused programs.
Maybe it's a misperception or lack of understanding of what it specifically means, because a lot of I guess the rhetoric that I hear is more of like, hey, meritocracy based hiring, not just like, filling your quota or whatever that is. But I think that's where maybe over the past 2 years, there wasn't an actual like, awareness or education on what DE&I meant versus what it turned out, what the perception was it is, or what it's been reported, or what's been, mentioned in any social channel.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And here's what I'll also share. I think, especially in this day and age, people are so quick to rush to solutions before they actually even understand the problem. And I think what we saw as sort of a knee-jerk reaction in 2020, was we skipped a bunch of steps. Socially, we skipped a bunch of steps. We said, okay, this is an important issue. Now let's solve the problem. And what we actually didn't do is the change management that was actually necessary to sustainably get everybody to the actual change that we wanted to make and be able to do that in a way that is sustainable moving forward, right? In a lot of the work that I do as a consultant, we think about change management models and how they're applied. And what a change management model helps with is this with sustaining the change that you want to see, right? It's not enough that we create something and 3 years later it completely falls apart. You need to be able to build the awareness, the understanding, educate people so that you're actually able to change people's behaviors, and you're able to, through behavior change, have a culture shift. And I think we didn't do any of that, right? We went right from we're in a moment of crisis racially to now putting forth solutions. We forgot all the change management that actually needs to happen and take place so that the change is also lasting change, right? And I think hindsight is 2020. We look back and we're like, oh gosh, we're like 3 years after all these big commitments. And we socially, like as a society, we did not apply change management in a way to sustain the change that we actually want to see. And it's slipping backwards now.
And do you see sort of like when you talk about sustaining the change, are you saying that certain when the organizations and businesses that really were focused on this, they didn't have the right infrastructure in place, so it was more of like, hey, let's hire a bunch of people, let's get these programs running, but they didn't actually have the whether it's the physical infrastructure or maybe the workplace, buy-in infrastructure that needed to happen to ensure that, hey, regardless of, economic conditions or anything, this is accepted and then championed correctly in the organization.
I think it's all of that, and so it's all that. It's the physical infrastructure. It's the buy-in from employees. It's making sure that that there's a foundation of information and there's a steady drumbeat of communications. All that sort of stuff. I think it's all of that, and I think that there was also an oversimplification of what the issue actually is. There was a knee-jerk reaction of let's just solve the issue without actually understanding what the issue is. And the people who actually needed to be fully bought in and have clear understanding probably didn't have any of that. And we're seeing that, right? We're seeing that. And it's tough, right? It's disheartening.
So, where do you see diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging going forward? Like, where do you see that in the future as we start navigating through a little bit more economic uncertainty and, more, perhaps even more layoffs? But where do you see that path moving forward?
So I would just say that, diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, it's certainly not dead. I think it just needs a small jump start. And I'm actually fairly optimistic on this. I think that, once we get beyond, once we finally hit the bottom, I think we'll probably start to see the trend going back up. Now, having said that, I'm very optimistic, and I do think that as long as the profession and the concept and the programming get the jump start it needs, like I think we're going to still be able to make the progress that we may have lost on over the past couple of years with the layoffs. I would also say that because the workplace is changing, and also the ways in which people are identifying as those change, like so does the profession. And I think so do the expectations that diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging professionals need to have in terms of the types of programs that they are that they're pulling forth, and also the expectations that they have of how receptive others will be of implementing those programs. So that's probably a really that's like a clear as mud answer. But I think I'm certainly optimistic on the profession and the direction in terms of the progress that will be made. And I think the other part of that too is that I think that the workplace and landscape is getting a little bit harder to navigate. I think as a result of all the different things that we talked about, but also because the way that we value some of these things as a society are also evolving fairly rapidly.
So Jerome, if any of our audience wants to connect with you on diversity, equity, inclusion, or any other topics on social impact, what's the best place to reach you?
Two different places. I think naturally they can find me on LinkedIn, Jerome Tenniel. I'm fairly active on social media, especially LinkedIn. Or you can go to the Uplift Agency website and you can find me in the staff roster.
Thank you for listening to the Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.